You're listening to The Hawk, 101.5 FM, broadcasting from Mohawk College in Hamilton, Ontario.
You're listening to a show called Dangerfield on 101.5 FM, The Hawk. I'm Mary, and tonight my guest is Troy Snatterzee. He's a singer-songwriter from the band Altameda. They're a Toronto-based band hailing from Edmonton. They've played festivals and stages across North America and Europe, have toured extensively, and have released two celebrated albums, including Dirty Rain, released in 2016, and Time Hasn't Changed You in 2019. Grant Lawrence from CBC Music has been quoted as saying, they're the best Canadian rock and roll band I've heard in a while. So welcome to the show, Troy. Nice to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Cool. Well, why don't we start off the show with the latest song that you put out. You put it out last year, and it's a cover written by Dion DiMucci. Own Backyard. And we'll play that, and then we'll come back and we'll chat, okay?
Awesome.
I've been sitting here thinking, when I started in drinking, now I'm on the dope, sure to change my life. Woo! I cried a tear and a beer for me, I lost everything that was near and dear to me, namely my children and my wife. My dear, I'll be having a good time, sitting with my head between my knees. I knew everything that there was to know, everything except which way to go. I cried, oh God, take me with you, please. Many a time up and down, didn't need none of that junk that was going around. Well, I can quit, just let me finish what I got. After all this stuff should cost a lot, then I'll get my feet back on the ground. Well, I can't tell nobody.
That was Your Own Backyard, a song written by Dion DiMucci, known as Dion. And it was sung by a band called Altamita, and Troy from that band is joining me tonight. So Troy, you put out that song last year, and it was kind of around the time that coronavirus was really just kind of hitting the world in general and really impacting a lot of people's lives big time, with people that we know, you know, touring musicians. And and so can you talk a little bit about, you know, why you put out that song and kind of what it meant to you at the time?
I mean, that one, so we had done, we did our last record with our mutual friend, Aaron Goldstein, who we all know and love. And we were on tour after we'd recorded that record, and we just sort of had such a good time making the record that we decided to go into a studio and do another session. And we'd kind of been playing that song just as a cover, because I really got into that specific record by Dion. I forget the name of it now. Do you know, are you familiar with that record?
I think it was, I know him as an artist. So for those who haven't heard of Dion, he's, you know, he's from the 50s. He had about, you know, 40 top 40 hits, you know, mainly known for Run Around Sue and The Wanderer. But I can't think of right now of what the album was called.
Yeah, it was produced by Phil Spector. And he had the Plastic Ono Band was his backing band on that record. So it's like quite a bit different than his sort of, you know, standard early rock and roll stuff. It's definitely like kind of a lot more like celestial and whatnot with the Phil Spector touch in there. So that song just, lyrically really kind of spoke to me. You know, it's all about him sort of overcoming his, you know, drug and alcohol addictions and whatnot. And, but in like a very, you know, sincere, cathartic way. I just thought it was a really beautiful song. So we decided to record it in that session with Aaron. And then we'd kind of been sitting on it for a couple of years. When everything happened with the coronavirus and all of our tours and everything got canceled, we were like, well, you know, we might as well throw this on out there. There's no use in really sitting on it. So we just kind of decided to put it out there just for fun at that time. But.
And so you had some pretty big tours planned for last year. You were scheduled to tour with Amy Helm, who's Lee's daughter, as well as the Zombies. Were all of those shows canceled?
Yeah, well, they all got, they're tentatively being rescheduled now. So I'm not entirely sure when they're going to happen. I mean, both tours had been sort of rescheduled, and then, I mean, as everybody's kind of had to deal with that. So they've kind of been rescheduled and then pushed back again a couple times now, but I think that they're going to be still happening. And I think that the Amy Helm one is potentially going to happen at the end of 2021. And then the Zombies one, I think 2022.
That's great. That's something to look forward to then.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so Troy, I've got a question for you, because I was reading up about you and I couldn't find any explanation for your band name and why you called it that. So I have two theories, so I'm interested if I have them right.
I'm curious.
So one is, so you're from Edmonton, Alberta. Is ELTA by any chance like a short form for Alberta?
Yeah, it is.
And then is MITA, so I looked up the word MITA, and it's got a couple cool meanings. So there's like Greek meaning of the word MITA is unique. Or it also could mean prophetess in North American Indian language. So is it close for either of the second half?
I prefer your ideas. But it's funny. Sort of when I wish that there was a better story around it, but when we started the band, I had just sort of been recording our first record solo, and then I brought the other guys in, and then sort of towards the end of the sessions, we were like, okay, well, I mean, this is gelling, so, you know, we've all known each other for forever as well, so we decided to go ahead as a band, we needed a name. Originally, we were calling the band Alameda, which is a grouping of trees in a forest. You know, it was just sort of an ambiguous thing. Unfortunately, that was already taken by some other people. And so we wanted, you know, we'd kind of rolled with it for a couple of shows. And so Alameda is actually a place in California.
My second part that I was going to ask you is that I'm going to cut you off here, but I was curious.
Oh yeah,
because Alameda is in the States, and then Altamont. I don't know if you're a Stones fan, but Altamont.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. Yeah. So that was a part of it. I mean, like, yeah, I've obviously, you know, been pretty obsessed with the lore around, you know, Altamont and all that stuff. There was the Alberta thing, and then sort of mixing that with the Alameda. Alameda is the place, but you know, we just wanted something ambiguous that sort of didn't get in the way of the music necessarily. It was just sort of like something that would just be us,
for sure.
So yeah, there's not unfortunately not really a crazy you know, meaning behind it necessarily, other than the fact that, you know, it was just a name that just kind of happened, and we liked the way that it looked, and we liked the way that it sounded, and, you know, there was, you know, a little bit of connection to it. And now at this point, it's just sort of just become, you know, synonymous with our music. So I don't, you know.
I like that. It's quite unique, though, which is hard. It's hard to come up with a unique name that you know, people don't have already given.
I know. The Beatles was taken, unfortunately.
And so where are you calling in from now? Are you in Toronto?
Yeah, in Toronto, yeah. Yeah, moved out here pretty much right before the pandemic hit, unfortunately. But yeah, no, I mean, it's been great. Eric's out here as well now, so.
Nice. And so when you were here, when you were recording, so you did an album, the previous album that you put out in 2019 called Time Hasn't Changed You. So you recorded that at Baldwin Street Sound in Toronto with Aaron Goldstein. Is that correct? Yeah,
correct.
And so you weren't living here at the time. You were just visiting when you recorded that?
Yeah. We just sort of came down to do it with him. I mean, we had, you know, some friends out here already and stuff, so we spent some time out here. And yeah, just, you know, I don't know, we'd met Aaron a couple times before, and, you know, he was setting up the studio, it looked rad. We'd kind of sent him some demos from that record, and he sent us back this, you know, huge email, just, you know, talking about all the influences that he was hearing in it, and how he, you know, related to all that stuff so much, and, we're like, you know what, I feel like he's the dude, you know, like, I just feel like he really sort of, like, understands what we're going for. So we decided to just come out and make the record with him out here.
Cool. Well, let's listen to the first single that you put out off of that record. So the record's called Time Hasn't Changed You, and this is Troy joining me tonight on Dangerfield. His band's called Altameda, so let's listen to Rolling Back to You, and then we'll come back and we'll chat, okay?
Did a lot of things, some of them came out wrong. I was down on the bottom, now I'm back where I belong. If I treated you wrong, that's something I just can't take. Are we losing our I've been left in the burning rain. So I kept it on inside, on inside of a picture frame. Yeah. You're the only thing in my life that makes any sense. Are we losing out on love? Tired of sitting on a fence. Hey. Now I wanna tell you just how I feel. And I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. Hey. My love is a train. My aim is true. My heart is a wheel and it's rolling back to you. Rolling back to you. Feels like nothing to work out right. You say bed, I'm crying now. Yeah. What a goddamn shame. If you can't tell by the way I feel, you can't tell by the way I was. Hey.
That was Rolling Back to You by El Tanita. Troy from that band is joining me tonight. So Troy, so the album that we heard, that was the first song, single that you put out from the album. That was called Time Hasn't Changed You. Now on the album, you've got a song called Time Hasn't Changed Me. So can you talk a little bit about the naming of the album and kind of like just that slight variance, I guess, between the song title and the album title?
Yeah, it was just sort of one of those things where we just kind of thought of, you know, just kind of turn it on its head a little bit. There wasn't really, I mean, I guess the song in itself is definitely like a little bit more personal and a little bit more like direct towards, you know, talking to somebody. And the record, I guess, is just sort of like the collection of tunes.
A question for you. So both of your albums, if people want to buy them on vinyl. So first of all, Troy's music can be found at altameda.net. So it's altameda.net or instagram.com/altameda, altameda. So both of your vinyls that people can purchase, there's Dirty Rain or, now I'm screwing up the name. Your Time Hasn't Changed You. And so both of those you include in them short stories by an author. So the author's name is Curtis LeBlanc.
Yeah.
Curtis is a poet and a writer. Can you talk a little bit about including that in the album and what that kind of means?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Curtis is he's a really old friend of mine and everybody else in the band. And him and I, you know, we sort of, from a really early age, bonded over, you know, just being interested in poetry and songwriting and all that kind of stuff. And he's kind of gone on to, now he teaches at the UBC in Vancouver and stuff. And, him and his wife have a little publishing imprint of poetry and stuff that they do. And we just thought it would be kind of cool. I've always like really loved his writing and stuff. And just as far as like including like a foreword, I guess, like in a record insert, I've always kind of like been into like, you know, sort of like old Neil Young records and stuff. He'll have like a weird sort of ambiguous foreword about like coconuts falling on somebody's head or something like that, which I always thought was, you know, a little bit more interesting than somebody just doing like a straightforward sort of bio or whatever. So I just thought it would be a little bit more interesting to include some of his writing. So we would basically just, yeah, send him the record and then the artwork, and he would sort of take that and do his own kind of little piece, you know, sort of encapsulating what it made him feel or whatever. So,
and have you ever written a song kind of, so he's written based on your songs. Have you ever written a song based on his writing or influenced by his writing?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I stayed with him for a while in Vancouver a few years back, and we were definitely doing a lot of collaborating at that time with writing lyrics and short form stuff. But yeah, we've talked a lot about, you know, trying to collaborate on lyrical ideas or even like prose or something like that in the future. So, we haven't really done anything to any sort of full extent, but it's definitely something that we've played around with the idea of doing. But yeah.
Yeah, and your writing is really great, like your lyric writing. And so have you ever thought about kind of putting out a book with just your lyrics in it or poetry?
I mean, I've definitely considered that would be awesome. I don't write a lot of prose, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. It's something that I've sort of, you know, started to dabble in a little bit more. It's definitely something I've considered, if anybody would be interested in something like in me doing that. I don't know. but I mean, it's flattering for you to even say that.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. They're all kind of like they're mini stories in it in themselves, I find. And I guess my question to you is then how, like when you write your lyrics, is it like a quick process or do you kind of like slave over them, or what's your writing process like when you're writing words and music, I guess?
Yeah, I think in recent times I've definitely become more meticulous with my lyrics, especially on this new record that's going to be coming out. I guess I just sort of started taking it a little bit more seriously, just, you know, reflecting on just, you know, some older material and being like, I wish that I would have just, you know, gone back and edited that at the time. But then it's also, you know, you don't want to, you know, ruin the spontaneity of that either, you know. So it's kind of I don't know. It's usually fairly stream of consciousness at first. I'll usually have, you know, I have in my phone, I have just like so many notes that I usually use as sort of like a jumping off point. Like if I have sort of like a loose concept or maybe like one line that like, you know, I find, you know, strikes something in me or makes me feel something. And then I can kind of jump off from there. But yeah, it's a lot of the time, you know, sometimes it's, you know, I have like a very particular theme in mind or something that I'm directly trying to convey. And sometimes it's just what feels right with the music. And so, you know, maybe keeping it vague is almost better in that sense. So,
cool.
Yeah, no formula that's, that I stick to every single time, but definitely I find having notes and some sort of jumping off point going into it is extremely helpful for me.
And when you write a song, Does the music kind of always match the mood that you have in your mind when you're writing the lyrics, or have you ever written lyrics and then when you bring it maybe to your band and stuff, like, does the vibe completely change? Like, or is it always kind of like, does it always match?
I mean, it depends. Recently, like with the newer stuff that we've been writing, we've sort of been taking a bit of a different approach in that regard, where, it used to be, I would bring something to the table and then, collaboratively we would work it out in the jam space or whatever. And that would, typically yield something that was like a lot more sort of rockin' or something, just purely because it, when it's just keyboards, bass, drums, and guitar, you just tend to just work with that. But now sort of the way that we've been building songs is just all kind of have like an acoustic thing. And then from there, we'll just really kind of build it up with, using a lot of different, like on this new record, we have like a ton of strings and stuff and horns. And we sort of really kind of went all out with trying to make it sound extremely sort of like lush and kind of like that old sort of Nashville kind of vibe or something like that, rather than just sort of trying to make a straight ahead rock and roll record. Whereas on like the previous one, that was definitely sort of more so the goal, I guess, because, purely because when we were touring and playing with just us four all the time, that we just sort of wanted to encapsulate what we were doing on the road or whatever. So definitely a lot of those songs just ended up sort of taking on that sort of rockin' kind of vibe, I guess.
And so you mentioned putting out new music or working on new music. So are these all songs that have been written kind of since COVID started, or were you working on them prior?
So we actually have a new record that it's coming up on a year now ago that we recorded it, which has been mentally difficult to hold on to it for that long. But I think just, given the nature of everything involving COVID and all that kind of stuff, it just kind of didn't make sense necessarily at this point for us to just kind of throw it into the void or whatever,
right,
so to speak. So we kind of, and our way of promoting our band has always been being on the road and touring and promoting, like the live show as well as a component of that. So it was, it just didn't feel like we should put it out during the pandemic. So we've been holding on to that. So that's completely finished. But a lot of those songs were written pre-pandemic.
Okay.
I will say when we were originally going to record the record, I did write quite a few of the songs that I think are the best songs after the pandemic, and we had to delay the recording sessions for a couple of months. So I'm actually really happy that kind of happened and for that reason, because I think that the record's better because of that. But we've just been, just working a ton on new stuff. So, I mean, we might have a whole other record by the time everything's
That's awesome.
Over. Yeah. But
let's listen to another song off of your previous record that you put out. Let's listen to Little Tears off of Time Hasn't Changed You, and then we'll come back and we'll chat.
Wake up sick, then do it again, I think. The house is cold, but you've heard it all before. And I wish that I really meant every word I said. Can't blame it on the mailman. Can't blame it on the shape I'm in. In a perfect world, everything would work out the way that I planned it. And if cigarettes don't kill me, they surely will. Just hand me the bill. If this plane goes down, at least it's landing. But you could blame your little tears on me. They're always welcome company.
Time Hasn't Changed You by the band Altameda, and Troy from that band is joining me tonight on Dangerfield. So Troy, you made a video for this song, and I read about it and it said it was kind of influenced by the legendary screen tests of Bob Dylan and Edie Sedgwick and all to French art films. And so I read that you had filmed it on 8mm and your band edited it itself. So does kind of like film influence a lot of your music?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think, like, you know, we're all really into film, and my girlfriend, she actually took film studies in university and stuff. So she's definitely turned me into or gotten me onto a lot of, you know, older sort of like French New Wave.
Cool. Stuff
or whatever, you know, but that's definitely a bit of an aspect of that, but I mean, just in the sense that we try to just, you know, mainly out of necessity, you kind of have to do our own videos and that kind of thing, but we do, you know, very much enjoy doing that. But Eric, our drummer, is a graphic designer as well, so yeah, he just kind of, you know, he kind of got savvy with using 8mm and stuff and editing. And so, yeah, we just wanted something that was like a simple concept that wouldn't be too difficult to pull off.
And you've got another video for your song, Rolling Back to You. That was the first single off the album, Time Hasn't Changed You. And it's got like a bit of like a sample at the start of the video. Like, it sounds like it might be.
Yeah.
Film. What is that?
Eric put that in there. I honestly am not totally sure where he found that. I think he somehow found it, and it seemed like something that would fit the vibe. So he just ended up putting it in there. But yeah, But I like the way it turned out. Yeah,
yeah, it's super awesome. And
so
the album that you have been working, that you've just recorded, is that the one that you did with Thomas Darcy, or is that?
Yeah, correct.
Cool. And so you've worked with some great, you know, musicians. So, you know, Gus Van Gogh, Thomas Darcy, like, how do you, like what kind of draws you to pick these people and kind of what's your process for, you know, entrusting your music? Cause it's a big deal. I think when you're working away on your craft and then, you know, kind of aligning with the people you want to work with. So how do you come to that decision?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, so with Tom, we had never really met him before, but we did quite a bit of touring with the Sheepdogs in 2018, and he had done their newest record that they were touring at the time, and those guys were, you know, really kind of talking Tom up, and we really dug the way that their record sounded, and then also we had been sort of talking to this other producer, Tucker Martin, who ended up mixing the record. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him. He's out of Portland. He's worked on some really big stuff like REM and My Morning Jacket and Stephen Malkmus and a bunch of people. But so we were originally we were going to go out to Portland and do the record with him, and we had the dates all booked and everything. But then because of COVID, we unfortunately couldn't do that. So we were like, oh, well, we're going to have to try to find somebody in Canada or whatever to do this because, you know, it just traveling was not an option at the time. And we met Tom and went and checked out the studio. And then we went to the Skyline and had a wild night with him, and that was fun. And then we just kind of hit it off and we're like, you know what? Like, I feel like this is totally the right vibe. And I feel like he nailed it. I'm super happy with the way that the record sounds. And then Tucker mixed it, and yeah. So
that's awesome. Yeah, he's incredible. I've listened to his music for a while. He was in a band, I don't know, like 15 years ago called Major Maker. It was him and Todor, and then also Small Sins, which was great band that he was in. Cool. Well, why don't we play a song off of your first album that you put out, Tamita, and it's 2016's album called Dirty Rain. And let's listen to Dirty Rain with that, and then and we'll come back and we'll chat.
Who they don't know. So you can't
That was Dirty Rain by Altamita. And so that was your first album called Dirty Rain. You've got some great, great songs on that album. That was your first album that you put out as a band. So the next album that you put out, you released some B-sides after off the next album. So were there songs off of this album that you still have kicking around that might not have seen the light of day, or was this kind of like, these were the songs for the album?
Off of the first record?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's so funny, you know, because that record, yeah, like I said, I sort of started recording it with the intention of it potentially being a solo record. I wasn't totally sure at the time what I was going to do with it, but then bringing in the other guys and then it sort of becoming obviously more of a band and more of like a group effort. We finished that one off, and then really quickly after we finished that record, we were still continuing to write. And then a lot of the songs off of our second record were, yeah, written really shortly after the first record. So it is funny because, yeah, now, you know, that record came out in 2019 and a lot of the songs were from 2017. And then, so yeah, it feels like it's been a long time. So we got a ton of songs in the can since then, but that aren't out yet. But a few of the ones that ended up on that B side of the Time Hasn't Changed You record were, yeah, I think the Leave Your Light On was one of the songs that actually I'd had that song for years because my old punk band Stepmothers did a version of that, which was a lot different than the way that we did it. But I much prefer our version because it was sort of the way that it was written as sort of an acoustic song. So that was a really old song, and it just sort of just we just didn't necessarily want to put out a record that had 13 songs. It just seemed like it might be too long or something. So,
well, let's listen to Leave Your Light On. So that's off of your B-side album of Time Hasn't Changed You. So this came out in 2019. And if people want to hear it, you can go to Altamita's Bandcamp or website, altamita.net, or find them on Instagram, Instagram.com/Altamita. And so let's listen to that and we'll come back.
Oh,
light on tonight. Time coming over and I'm through rolling dice.
Leave Your Light On by Altameda. I'm joined tonight by Troy from that band. So Troy, let's talk a little bit about your band. So take me through who all the band members are and how you all met.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as of sort of recently, it's actually just Eric and I. Mm-hmm. So we it was a four piece, but the other guys, you know, sort of decided to pursue other things, and which is totally all good. But so we're sort of putting together a touring ensemble. But for right now, it's just Eric and I as the core members of the group. And yeah, we just kind of like all of us. I mean, even the guys that were playing with us before, we all just grew up together, and we were all playing in separate bands, just kind of around like the Edmonton scene and stuff. I kind of came up through more of like a sort of hardcore and punk and stuff like that. It was kind of more my bread and butter when I was younger. But I was always doing sort of like a solo acoustic thing on the side.
Nice.
But I would play at like hardcore hall shows and stuff as like an acoustic solo guy or whatever. But somehow it was all good.
Actually, my friend's husband was your teacher, Everett Tech.
Really?
You know Everett?
Who's that? Everett? Oh, yeah, that's amazing. Oh, my God. Yeah, I love Everett. Wow,
yeah,
that's incredible.
It's funny because
he seems to know everybody.
Yeah, he I remember must have been at like a party at Baldwin Street Sound, and I posted a photo, and I guess like your band was in it, and she was like, how do you know these guys? They're Everett's.
Yeah.
Students where they were, whatever. But.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Everett was, so he was like a student teacher mm-hmm. at the time. And so, yeah, when I was in grade 12 or something like that, he was my art teacher, like student teacher. And we just like really hit it off because he was super into skateboarding and stuff. And so was I. So after school, we'd go to the skate park together and stuff. And it was pretty hilarious. But we've always stayed in touch. And yeah, that's amazing.
Cool.
Love that. Yeah, because his wife is from Toronto.
She's from Toronto. I met her through Montreal friends. I met her at a festival. I don't know if you know the Barr Brothers, but they put on a festival each year out eastern Quebec.
Cool.
Yeah, I met her there, but she actually went to the camp with like one of my best friends. So yeah, it's a small world, really, when you think.
That's rad. That's amazing.
Well, listen, let's listen to another song off your latest album, or the last album you put out, not the one that's up.
Mm-hmm.
But let's listen to Fire off your 2018 cool. album, and then we'll come back.
Great.
Just wanna burn.
Tamita. I'm joined tonight with Troy from that band. You can find their music on altamita.net. And so how many songs do you have prepped for your new album?
Well, so the new one that's finished but isn't out yet, I think mm-hmm. there's 11 tunes on that one. And mm-hmm. then I think maybe a couple more that we might release as B-sides after. And then we recently got a studio space, which I think the only reason why we're able to get something like affordable in Toronto that's, you know, reasonably spacious is probably because of the pandemic or something. Cause we got it it's in the back of this old church on like the west end on Jane Street. But they, I think that they were just sort of not able to host like you know, whatever mass or whatever there, whatever they do there. No, but so they just started renting out these rooms, and I think that they've been into it, and I think they're hopefully going to continue to do it because they've sort of been filling up these rooms with different artists and stuff. So we were lucky enough to get in there kind of when they started working on that. So we've been able to set up a little studio there, which has been amazing and really helpful as far as getting material together and stuff. So we've pretty much, I mean, at this point we've got a pretty good amount of tunes ready for the next record, and we might even just, I don't know, do the tracking there ourselves. It's been super fun. I mean, like, you know, obviously not being able to play has sort of made, I'm sure a lot of people, I'm sure their recording chops have improved through the pandemic and stuff. So that's been a lot of fun to sort of mess around there and stuff. So yeah, we've got quite a bit of material ready. So I'm hoping that we'll have another record in the can.
Well, that's awesome. Well, yeah. Well, Troy, thanks for talking to me tonight. I'm excited to listen to a lot more of your music, and I'm excited for what lays ahead. And so, for those who want to hear more of Troy's music, you can go to altameda.net or instagram.com/altameda, and then you'll be diverted to all the wonderful sites. But I encourage everyone to buy the music and not stream it. And so we'll listen to a bunch more of your songs, and thanks so much for your time tonight, Troy. Okay.
That's great. Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Cool. Well, have a great night, okay?
Yeah, you too. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll talk soon.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.